I think all of us today accept the necessity and the value of women serving in the armed forces. And yet that recognition has not come without a struggle. Even in the nursing profession, it took the heroic efforts of Florence Nightingale and Clara Barton to convince not only their countrymen but the world at large that women were not fragile creatures to be shielded from the realities and, well, yes, the brutalities of life. But the past, and I sincerely hope the last world war, proved that women could perform almost any duty short of carrying arms. It underscored the fact that women, like men, could be trained for highly specialized activities. In my own profession, of course, there has never been any question of the relative abilities of men and women. My goodness, there have even been occasions when male stars have shared top billing with me. I said I hoped that the past world war would be our last. But unfortunately, the global situation doesn't leave much room for such optimism. I think now that perhaps the best way for us to maintain some semblance of peace, some hope for democracy to survive in free lands, is to be prepared for any eventuality. Our own free strength may be, I pray, the key to world peace. To keep that strength means greater participation in the nation's affairs by all of us. Especially it means more participation by women. That's why I was happy to accept General Marshall's invitation to serve on the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services. I have spoken to Anna Rosenberg, to whom this committee reports directly. I've heard the secretaries of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the women's directors, and I've learned firsthand of the great need for women in the services and all the steps being taken to make military service a brilliant new career for young women. At first, Mrs. Rosenberg pointed out, it was believed that women could only fill four types of jobs in the services: clerks, telephone operators, typists, and cooks. But experience has shown that women can fill thousands of important jobs in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, that they can build for themselves many useful and unusual careers. Just where does our Defense Advisory Committee fit in? We will give whatever expert counsel we can in helping to evolve policies that will make military service an attractive duty. Congress recently removed the limitation on the number of women in the services, which evidently has made the formation of such a committee imperative. The 49 members of this committee are outstanding women leaders in the fields of education, business, medicine, journalism, radio, stage, civic, and social service. From the background of our own successful careers, I hope we can provide some useful advice to the Department of Defense for its guidance in building a staff of competent, highly trained women specialists who will, justly, take pride in their service careers.